All right, real quick. Here are four unrelated stories, all with a common bond. First, let's go back to November 20th, 1982. For the 85th time, Cal and Stanford are involved in a heated contest. After a wild game, Stanford, led by young John Elway, takes the lead with just 4 seconds left. The Stanford fans and band are already celebrating, and why shouldn't they? The game is over. One final play begins as Stanford kicks short to Cal. A mad scramble ensues. Laterals follow near tackles, then a blind over-the-shoulder lateral. A mad race to the end zone. Down goes the Stanford trombonist as the touchdown is scored. The unthinkable happens, and Cal wins. As it turns out, it wasn't over. How about this one? Meet the Lilies, Russell and Terry. It's 2001. Their 10-year marriage has been a constant source of frustration. A vicious cycle of selfishness, fighting, and isolation has left them both exhausted, angry, and done. Never mind the vows. Never mind the two young boys. This one is beyond hope. This marriage is over. Following their divorce, Russell becomes a follower of Christ, and Terry begins to notice the transformation taking place in Russell. Hardened hearts soften. The relationship begins to heal. Forgiveness is sought and granted. In 2007, they remarry. The one that became two is now one again. Then there's Raylene Kupferschmidt. It's January 2008. Ray suffers a cerebral hemorrhage. Declaring her brain dead, the doctors remove her breathing tubes. Knowing that it's over, the hospital releases Ray to her family so she can be taken home to die comfortably. Meanwhile, Ray's family plans her funeral. But someone forgot to tell Ray that it was over. At home, Ray suddenly wakes up. She's checked again by her doctors, who cannot believe that she's still alive, much less alert and healthy. Funeral plans have now turned into vacation plans for Ray and her family. Logically devoid of hope, legally divorced, literally dead. Everyone thought it was over. It's not the first time. It's not over, even when it's over.
Don't you love it? Let's give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. Well, we want to welcome you to The Edge on this wonderful Easter Sunday morning. We are so glad that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to honor the Lord, and we are very honored that you would take this time and spend with us. Hey, we're starting a new series of messages this morning that I'm really excited about, and we're simply entitling it, It's Over, or It's Not Over. Well, you know, if that's the only mistake I ever make in my life, I'll be okay. Hey, but for the next few weeks, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about some very practical principles and then share with you some just outstanding testimonies about how faith and perseverance and having a never-quit attitude can put us into position to receive supernatural intervention from God. And I think that it's very appropriate that we would start something with that kind of subject on this day. I mean, because if there is any event in history that proves it's not over, even when it looks like it's over, it was what happened on Easter Sunday morning or over 2,000 years ago. And maybe you don't consider yourself a Christian. And maybe you're, maybe this resurrection thing is just beyond what you can even fathom. Well, I think you came on a really good day this morning. Now, we're not asking you to change your beliefs, but I am asking you to just take a few minutes and be open. Just take a few minutes and listen. And so as you listen over these next 20 minutes, I hope that you'll be able to catch a glimpse of what happened way back then and come to understand that maybe there is a God who can do something that no man can do. You know, almost everybody knows at least a little bit about the story of Easter. The air was very cool on that spring morning. There were a few open fires that could be seen with little groups of people huddled around to keep warm. And what a night it had been. If one word was used to describe that night, it would have been chaos. I mean, what was usually a very quiet city had been turned upside down with shouting and fighting and wild accusations and beatings and an execution. And that little group that had become known as, quote, the disciples, they had narrowly escape with their own lives. I mean, just a few days earlier, you would have never been able to convince them that at this time they would be living like fugitives and hiding from the law, but there they were. I mean, because just a week earlier, I mean, they entered the city like rock stars, but now it was all over. All their hopes had been dashed against the rocks of reality. Love had been replaced with hate. Confidence had been replaced with doubt. Hope had been replaced with despair. And compassion had been replaced with blood. And remember how it all started. They were there in the garden, and Jesus had asked them to pray with him for just an hour. But they were so tired. It had been a long day, and they had been up all night. And who could blame them for wanting to catch just a few weeks of sleep? But then when he woke them up, his face was red. It looked like that he had been sweating blood. But I guess we would have too. If we had known like he knew what was going to take place in the next few hours. And it was a very discouraging time. I mean, they had given up 3.5 years of their life, and now it looked like they were covered with a blanket of darkness, and there's no way that they could even see the light. And so that's how things ended on Friday. And honestly, these followers of Jesus thought it was over. But it wasn't over. Because Sunday was coming. And yes, on Easter Sunday morning, while the mist was still on the ground, and while the Roman soldiers were standing guard, and while the leaders of organized religion were breathing a sigh of relief because they had got this malefactor out of the way, and while the bloodthirsty mob was sleeping after they had witnessed another execution, and after the horde and the hordes of hell were celebrating their victory, suddenly it was Sunday, and it was very clear that it was not over. Say, it's not over. You know, if the resurrection of Jesus tells us anything, it teaches us that God always finishes what he starts. I mean, even when it looks like it's over. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says something very interesting. He says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. And so it doesn't matter how dark it looks or how long it's been or how many people tell you it's over, if we'll just stay in faith, God will always take us from Friday to Sunday, and just like with Jesus, he will finish what he started. You may be at a place in your life right now where you feel like it's Friday. I mean, there may be some major obstacles in your path. You may think that, well, you know, these dreams that are in my heart, I'll never be able to accomplish them. Or that legal situation that I've got, it'll never be worked out. Or that family crisis that I'm in, nothing will ever happen there. Maybe everybody's saying, well, you just need to lean back and you just need to accept things like they are because it's never going to get better. It may seem like Friday. But you know what? It doesn't have to be over because Sunday's still coming. And there's one thing that I've learned in my journey with the Lord, and that is that he's faithful to fulfill his word and the promises that he has put in your heart concerning your family and your business and your dreams. He has every intention of bringing those promises to pass, but you cannot give up. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, 1 and 2 says this, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, don't take that literally, strip down, start running, and never quit. Say never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. Don't quit. Because God, he's never going to begin something in your life that he cannot finish. You know, maybe there's a dream in your heart. that you believe God put there. It may be a dream to write a book or start a business or go on a mission trip or establish some kind of home or shelter to help people, or it may be a dream to get married and have a family. Listen, God already has a completion date for that. He already sees it done, but you know, we're creatures of time. You know, we count the minutes and the hours and the days and the years. And since we're finite, we want everything to happen now. And if it doesn't happen now, well, so many times what we want to do is we just want to throw up our hands and give up. But the book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says this, "So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good at the right time." The right time. The right time. The right time. Say the right time. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop, watch, if we don't give up or quit. The right time. You say, Brad, what's the right time? Well, the right time is when that crop that you have planted has grown up. You know, you don't plant seeds today and reap a harvest tomorrow. There's always a growing period. That, you know, you can't deny that. And different crops take different amounts of time, and they're harvested at different times. But if we have planted, first of all, you got to plant something, but if we planted some seed, and if we planted that seed in good soil, and if we continue to water and fertilize it, we will receive a harvest. And sometimes it looks like it's Friday. But I'll tell you what, Sunday's coming. You say, well, Brad, you just don't understand. I mean, business is down, and, you know, I didn't go to college like some people did, so I've got a disadvantage, or the doctors, they've already said it's impossible, or he's already left, or she's already signed the divorce papers, or they've already hired somebody else. Yeah, all those things can be very difficult to deal with. But I want to ask you a question. Is there something in your life that you would like to see turned around? Hopefully all of you have, either in the pews or on your chairs, a little piece of paper. Would you grab that? Would you just do that? Just grab a little piece of paper. And ushers, if you would help me, I think there's some paper over here. If someone doesn't have one, would you lift your hand? Because you'll need this paper here in just a few minutes. But what I'd like for you to do is take this paper and either write that one thing on it, or even if you don't have a pen, and you know, just think about that one thing in your life that you'd like to see turned around. I mean, what is that? Well, I want you to know that whatever you write down, whatever is on that paper, whatever you're thinking about, all it takes is one touch from God to turn the entire situation around. You know, when we first considered looking at this property, we had no money. And in fact, another church, they already had a contract on it, and they had their sign already up out front. But the Lord spoke to Robin, and she said, Brad, I just feel like that this is where we're supposed to be. And of course, Brad, God's man of great faith and power, said, Robin, no, 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 no. This is just way too big for us. This is just way big. You know, we just need to think a lot smaller. Maybe we can just rent another space where we are. But I tell you, she just wouldn't quit. She said, Brad, you know, I just feel like this is where God wants us to be. And so we looked at it. And in the natural, there was no way it can happen. We didn't have any money. We didn't have the people to make it happen. But listen, one touch of God's favor can turn an entire situation around. And you know, God doesn't love us any more than He loves someone else. You say, well, does He love us more than He loved the other church? No. It just happened to be that this was where we were supposed to be. And we heard God's voice on it. And we just chose to follow Him. And the rest, as they say, is history. One time, Peter came to Jesus, and he was asking Jesus about some taxes that needed to be paid. This is great. Book of Matthew, chapter 17. This is for all you fishermen. He says, but so we don't upset them needlessly, go down to the lake, cast a hook, and pull in the first fish that bites. Hope it's a big one. Open its mouth, and you'll find a coin. Take it and give it to the tax man, and it will be enough for both of us. Now, Peter obeyed the Lord. And because he did, something supernatural happened. I mean, after all, he's God, and he can do anything he wants to. And, you know, he can open up supernatural things in our life, and he can have us go fishing. And the first fish we catch, there's enough money in that fish's mouth to pay all of our taxes. How would you like that? You know, sometimes although we can see it's Friday, and because it looks like it's over, we just give up. On that particular Friday, all the disciples could see was darkness. Their dreams were gone. Their hopes had been swallowed up in a tomb. It really looked like it was over. But it wasn't over. I mean, because who would have ever thought in the natural that Jesus was going to rise from the dead? I mean, who would have ever thought in the natural that the terrible things that were happening were all part of God's plan to save mankind? Who would have ever thought in the natural that Friday was just a planting time, but Sunday was going to be a harvesting time? Who would have ever thought in the natural that God was about to do something supernatural? Who would have ever thought that in the natural, what looked like a defeat was just a doorway to victory? You know, and there may be things in your heart that's been so pushed down by people and time and lack of funds and discouraging words and life circumstances that it looks like it's never going to come to pass. But instead of continually saying, well, you know, it's over, nothing good ever happens to me, I never get any good breaks, why don't you just get up every morning expecting some kind of divine intervention? Why don't you begin to expect supernatural favor and supernatural blessings and supernatural increase? In fact, you might start saying out of your mouth, hey, it may look like it's Friday, but my Sunday is coming. You say, but Brad, I've made so many mistakes and I've caused my own problems and I'm nothing but a screw-up. I've made poor choices and now I just have to accept the consequences of my own actions. Well, yeah, there's a truth that we do reap what we sow. But listen, we serve the God of another chance, and another chance, and another chance, and another chance. And He has resurrection power, and the work that He has begun in us, He's going to finish. Book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, don't throw it away. Now, in the Greek, the "if" there is talking about your confidence in God, your belief system, your faith, seeing what's going to happen. Don't throw it all away. You're sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan so that you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any minute. Have you ever been sure of something? If you have, say yes. Let me know that you're out there. Have you ever really been sure about something? Have you ever had really confidence that something was going to happen? When you're sure of something, when you have confidence about something, you act like it, you talk like it, you plan like it, and you live like it. That's faith. And in fact, the Scriptures say that there is no other way to please God except by faith. But you know, sometimes by the way that we act and the way that we talk and the way that we live, I don't think that we would know faith if faith came and knocked on our door wearing a red hat. We just wouldn't have any idea what it is. I mean, our attitude is like, you know, it just doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what He promised. I'm going to act and talk and plan and live just however I want. In fact, we have more faith in the news reporters and in Wall Street and in Republicans and Democrats than we do in God. How do I know? Because we live our lives and we plan our lives by what they say. I'll tell you, it may look like it's Friday, but don't give up. Sunday is coming. Yes, but Brad, it just looks like the more I pray, the worse things get. Don't talk like that. Don't let those things go out of your mouth. Don't throw away your confidence. Have that assurance. Let me read a scripture that I read earlier. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you will keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish, not just a barely get along finish, but a flourishing finish. Yeah, it was Friday. And Jesus had been beaten beyond recognition. His beard had been torn out. Every inch of his body had been lacerated by the whip. A vine of 4-inch thorns had been woven into a crown and pushed on his head. And as he carried his cross up the winding road that led to Calvary, he was spit upon and mocked and reviled by the very people that he came to save. And then when he reached the top of the hill, he had spikes driven in his hands and his feet, and he was lifted up and he died a criminal's death. He was taken down and he was placed in a tomb, and it looked like it was over. But it wasn't over. Because early Easter Sunday morning, something happened that had never happened before. The resurrection power of God came into that tomb, and the body of Jesus lived again. It may have been Friday, but praise God, today is Sunday. Give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. You know, it might be Friday in your life. I mean, I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, why don't you let Jesus turn your Friday into Sunday? And it starts by you surrendering your life to Him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever really done that? Now, I'm not talking about joining some church or shaking somebody's hand or even being baptized or even coming up to the front. All those are great things, and we believe in all that. And I love to shake people's hand, and I love to baptize, But if you have really surrendered your life to Jesus, in fact, if you were to die right now, do you know where you'd go? I mean, maybe you grew up in a Christian home, and maybe you had Christian parents, and maybe you think, well, they believed for me, and they took care of me, but, you know, there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. You've either got to be a child or not. And the pain and suffering that he went through on Friday was for you. And on his cross was nailed your sins, your shame, your disappointment, your bad decisions, your screwed up relationships, your mess ups. But I think what happens many times is maybe we do make a commitment to the Lord, but then when something seems to go wrong in our life, or it just doesn't happen as quick as we think it should, or maybe something bad takes place, we want to reach up there and pull off the cross the very things that have been nailed to it. You know, in just a few minutes, we're going to receive communion. And I want us to all receive communion together today. You don't have to be a member of the Edge to receive communion. All you have to do is be a member of the body of Christ. But before we do, I want to ask you to do something as an act of faith. Jeff is going to get just a simple wooden cross. And I want you once more time to pull out that piece of paper. And I want you to think about it. Just hold it in your hand. And, you know, maybe you've written something on it. Maybe you haven't. But I want you to allow that piece of paper to symbolize whatever it is in your life that you want God to turn around. It might be a relationship. It might be something physical in your body. It might be a struggle you're going with in your mind. It might be a business thing that just seems like it's over. This is what I'd like to ask you to do. And they kind of know already, so they're doing it. Before we receive communion, I'd like for you to come and take that piece of paper. Whether you've written something on it or not, let it symbolize whatever it is in your life that you want God to turn around. And just, we're going to start in the middle and go this way, this side, and this way for this side, and pin your little piece of paper to the cross. And then when you do, I want you to come over here to these communion tables, and let me show you what to do. Here at the Edge, this is the way we receive communion. The Bible says on the same night that he was crucified, he took bread, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Same thing with the cup. The Bible says after he had drank the cup, he gave it to his disciples. He said, "This is my blood. As often as you do this, you remember my death till I come." And so, pin your whatever it is to the cross, and then come right over here. Take a piece of bread. Just dip it in the cup. And say, "Thank you, Jesus." Thank you so much for being with me today and listening to this teaching. And I want to take a minute and ask you a simple question. Can you remember a time in your life when you stopped in the course of your life and received the free gift of salvation that God has for each of us? You know, salvation is not about joining a church or shaking a preacher's hand or filling out a card or even being baptized. Salvation is accepting God's sacrifice for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that salvation is available to you right now. And all you have to do to receive it is accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And if you've never done that, would you pray with me right now and receive the forgiveness and peace that He has for you? You see, Jesus stands ready to come into your life right now, no matter where you are. And if you'd like for that to happen, would you just repeat this after me right now? Say, "Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for me and rose again from the dead. Come live in me and be the Lord of my life. I receive your forgiveness for all my sins, and I believe that I am now a child of God." Now, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, tell somebody what you've done, and then find a good church and start growing. And be aware of this great truth, that Jesus Christ now lives in you. God bless you, and welcome to the family of God.